Well, you woke up, you got up, got cleaned up, dressed up, showed up. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And breathing God's precious air. Every heartbeat is a gift from God. And, you know, the world doesn't realize any of that. The world just keeps going on and on and on. You're just berserk and crazy without the Lord, without the Bible, without any truth. No help, no hope, because they have not Jesus Christ. And there's no reason for saved people to live like that, amen? And we've got a lot to be thankful for. And we had mentioned earlier Thanksgiving. And when I was a kid, my favorite holiday was Christmas because I got stuff. Now my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. And not just because of the food, but just because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. And every day is an opportunity to brag on Him and to praise Him and try to honor and glorify Him. And He is worthy. He is worthy. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. You all thought we got away from there, didn't you? 2 Peter chapter 1. Lord, just bringing my heart back here. I don't know if it's our third or fourth message out of 2 Peter chapter 1, but we'll probably wrap it up here today for a while out of 2 Peter chapter 1, but it is the Word of God. You could preach out of this chapter for eternity and not get all of it. Amen. The Lord's just good to us that way. And boy, I feel sorry for the world. They are counting on all kinds of crazy stuff, but they're not counting on the Bible. They're not trusting Jesus Christ. And they're really missing out. And if you're here today and you're saved and you're not reading your Bible, you're missing out. Because God has so much in this book that will help you, that will give you peace and give you comfort and give you understanding, that will grow you to the Christian He wants you to be and He wants us to be. And we overlook the importance a lot of times of this Bible. And not just teaching and preaching, but meditating on the words of God. And boy, you can get so much out of this. And just, if you've been away from the book for a while, pray about it. Ask God to give you a verse and just read that verse over and over and over again. Even if it's just one verse. I suggest getting in there and reading a chapter a day and making it a point to do that. I'd have to do it first off in the morning, or else I'll get 3 or 4 hours into the day and won't have time. But at least a chapter a day, just get in there and read it and get in the habit of it. About 40 days, you'll be in the habit of it. You get up one morning and you'll be used to it. And then when you quit reading it, you'll be disappointed in yourself and you'll be lacking and you'll realize it. But, I mean, get up and ask God to give you something. And I'll tell you, He'll give you something. If you're looking for it, He'll give it to you. But get you a verse and meditate on that verse also. And you'll find that when things are going rough or things are challenging, like maybe you work at Hobby Lobby, things might get challenging. Amen. Or work with people that don't necessarily have the same language, same outlook, tell the same jokes, laugh at the same things. Or you work at Hobby Lobby and that happens too. Amen. But you'll find that God will bring that verse back. And He'll use that verse to give you hope and help when you weren't even expecting it. And amazing stuff. I mean, I always suggest that folks that are recently saved or they haven't been reading their Bible a lot to read Psalm 119:9 and 119:11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? This book will clean you up. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That'll help you. It'll help you. It gives you hope because you realize in this book can help you stay clean. You can't stay clean without it. And I thank God for it. 2 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to look at some things going down through. I'm going to be kind of a recap and kind of a sewing up of 2 Peter chapter number 1. Maybe. I thought 2 or 3 weeks ago we were through, but this is the fourth message, I believe. And we'll see. Some of this is going to be kind of a remembrance of what we have heard. And the first thing I want to look at today in verses 3 and 4 is, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We talk about those blessings. The blessings. In verse 3 again, it says, given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, because God has given us everything we need to have life. Everything we need to have life is his Son. Everything we need to have life was given on Calvary. Because man in his natural state is dead in his trespasses and sins. He is without hope. He's without hope. And he's without excuse without Christ. Because Christ paid it all. He gave us everything we need to have life and have life eternally. But he's also given us everything we need to live a godly life. It says pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need to live a sinless life has been given to you through the words of God. That being said, we have this flesh that drags us the wrong direction. Sometimes we're not careful. We talked a lot in Sunday school today about your diet. And I'm not selling Dexatrim or anything, so just relax, amen. We're not going to Benny Hinn you. We're not going to try to sell you a magic cloth or holy water or anything like that. We're going to talk about diet. And as you feed yourself good things to keep your flesh in good shape, you should allow yourself to feast on things of God to keep your spirit in good shape. But it's much more. Now, this is the place to start. The starting point is prayer and Bible study. And if you were here this morning, you're going to get a double dose of this. If you're here at Sunday school, because this is worth talking about. I believe the Lord would have us talk about this. Prayer and Bible study is what your diet should be pretty much made up of. But dedicating yourself to prayer and dedicating yourself to Bible study and Bible reading and Bible teaching and Bible meditation is not enough. You have to guard yourself from being force-fed the filth of this world. We had talked about the fact that if you go into, I'm going to use Kroger's this time. I'm tired of talking about Walmart. You almost shouldn't talk about Walmart in church, amen. But I'm going to use Kroger's. You go into Kroger's after you're there a few minutes, you have allowed the world to put music and stuff into your head that you normally wouldn't listen to. Amen. And it affects your mind. And your mind affects your heart. And your heart decides your direction. Amen. Say, well, man has a heart problem. The reason born-again people have a heart problem is because they're feeding their mind with things in this world hours and hours and hours and hours per week, and then they get a few minutes of Bible here and there. You need to guard your mind because it affects your heart. And we have talked about the wonderful opportunity that we have with young people to ingrain in their mind, in their heart and in their soul, things that are good and holy and clean. So when the world starts pumping the filth in, they realize this is not good, this is not right, this is not helpful, this is in fact harmful, and I'm going to get away from this. Now, I'll be honest, when you go in some of these stores, you'll hear music you haven't heard for 30 years, unless you're 29, but you'll hear music you heard when you were young, and you go, man, I know every word of that song. I wish I didn't. That's because we need to guard our mind. You know, I was lost on my way to hell. I listened to stuff that I wouldn't listen to now intentionally. But if we're not careful, we'll allow our diet to be tainted with these things unintentionally. That's why I was excited when Joshua was going to go to work at Hobby Lobby. I thought, well, a good Christian place. Well, a little unbeknownst to me that in 2020, even a good Christian place is full of filth. Amen. What you would call a good Christian place, what you would call a place that might honor God in some of their stands, but it's full of people. And the thing is, you know, we look and we can make that comparison. We can say, well, here's this place that's supposed to be holy and set apart for God, and this filth is going on in it, and boy, you go here and you get this filth and that filth and the other filth. But the truth is, there's a lot of filth in the heart of saved people that shouldn't be there. It's not just the lost people. It's to save people. God don't look at the lost people and go, man, I'm shocked. Yep. He looks at the lost people and says, they need Jesus Christ. They need my word. They need me. They have no hope without me. He looks at the saved people and he's got to be thinking, what are you doing? Why are you going to the devil's all-you-can-eat buffet and turning down my prime rib? Amen. Because what goes into your mind affects your heart, and when your heart is affected, it will dictate your steps. And it's your steps that you need to watch. But God has given us some blessings. We talked a couple weeks ago about the fact that He has given us precious promises, which He talks about in these verses, these precious promises in verse 4. And a lot of these precious promises, He promises that every man's a sinner. For all sin to come short of the glory of God. That's the promise of God. You can take that to the bank. He promises that if you trust Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save your soul. He promises in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you say through, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you say through faith that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, that He saves you on the merits of Jesus Christ, not your works. That's a promise. Because if it's anything to do with your works and my works, we'd go to hell. Jesus is not something you add on. Jesus is not something you add yourself to. Jesus is someone you accept and give yourself to. He is salvation. Amen. He's not an addition. Amen. He's not an upgrade. Amen. He's a new life. Amen. He promises in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He promises he saves you forever. I recently got to talk to one of our neighbors, and I think I might have mentioned this, but he said, I hate to even bring this up, but do you Baptists? He goes, I couldn't imagine you teach us once saved, always saved stuff in your church. I said, well, you know, let me tell you why. Let me give you about 25 minutes about Bible, about why we believe once you're saved, always saved. And let's start at John 3:16. That seems like a good place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life.
Right.
Everlasting life is everlasting.
Right.
Let's just make it simple. That means it lasts forever.
Yep.
Hebrew, Greek, English.
That's right.
It's eternal. Give you eternal life. You know what he says about his sheep? They shall never perish.
Amen.
He doesn't say as long as they don't wander off.
Right.
Amen. We see people all the time that we believe are blood-bought, born again. They're in church. We talked about this in Sunday school. I'm telling you, you missed something in Sunday school. I ought to just skip it so you just come back Sunday school. You can get Sunday school in the church service. But they'll leave and they're gone. But they left in their mind, and they left in their heart a long time before they left in their body. And then you see them out there on the sidewalk with a backpack, some of them, running up and down there looking for their next fix of heroin, their next smoke of dope, whatever they can get a hold of, their next booze. I will work for food, so you can give them $5 so they can go get a six-pack or whatever you can get with $5 anymore. And you see them out there. You say, how'd that happen? Well, they let their mind get affected. And after a while, you know, they left church. They were already drunks before they started drinking. They'd already left church before they left the church. They'd already cheated on their spouse before they ever physically cheated on their spouse. They'd already run off and went to another denomination and followed a false doctrine before they actually physically left and did it. Because of their mind. You got to guard your mind. But God has given us these promises so we can understand some things, so we can be secure in some things, and we can have peace about some things. No matter what happens outside the walls of this church, it's what happens in your mind, in your heart, that really matters to God. It's you that matter to God. He knows this world is a mess, and he's not surprised. But he's got to be shocked at blood-bought, born-again believers that will leave him in their mind. And in their heart, and then in their actions. You know, we get this, well, I didn't mean to do it. Hogwash. If you're saved and you did it on purpose.
Right.
Amen. You know how I know? Been there, done that.
Yep.
Been there, done that. And every single one of you, if you've been saved over 2 days,
yep,
have come to a fork in the road and made the wrong fork, make the wrong choice. We're at the wrong direction.
Yep.
See, well, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. And this is what I want to do. I'll tell you what, I'll do what I want to do right now. And then later on, I'll get back over to what God wants to do.
Yep. Amen.
Well, sometimes that fork will disappear.
Right.
And you can't get that back. You've got to guard your mind. The blessings he's given us. The building blocks in 5 through 7, we'll read these again. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And he goes down through these steps, and he's adding everything together like a ladder. He's saying, you go to this, you got this faith, and you add virtue, and he goes on down the line until you finally get up here to godliness. And when you get to godliness, it's not that you're up here, it's just that God is using you, and he's bringing you along, and he's growing you and maturing you till finally you're godly, and you have some holiness about you, and you can actually exercise some brotherly kindness and some charity. People don't just exercise brotherly kindness and charity the way God wants them to. They go through these steps till they become Christ-like, and then it's real. The blessings, the building blocks, and there's some warnings. Let's look at the barren in verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not producing fruit, what have you been feeding your mind? What have you allowed to get into your mind What have you allowed to affect your heart that you're producing weeds, thorns and thistles, instead of fruit? If you've been saved 10 years and you've never led anybody to Jesus Christ, I'd say that's a problem. One person. Is there one person going to be in heaven that says, hey, you know what? They told me about you, Lord. One person. I'm not saying we should limit it to one, but if you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years and you can't think of one person, what have you been feeding your mind? Where's your heart? What are your focuses? What are you focused on? We're supposed to produce fruit. He's telling us that if we do what he says to do, we won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know what makes a difference in our lives? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. Psalm 113, 5 through 9 says, who is likened to the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself, think about that, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Boy, that was me, right out of the dunghill. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. He makes people not be barren. If you're barren, it's not on God. If you haven't produced any fruit, it's not because God doesn't want you to or God isn't trying to. It's because of you. Amen. It's because of your diet. You know, we talk about physical health. It's always diet and exercise. Those things are important. You realize that when you get older and you have trouble exercising, then it shifts more to diet. Amen. Because no matter how hard you try, you can't exercise when you're 70 like you did when you were 25. So we think about the diet and exercise. Matter of fact, Creed deals with folks all the time that have challenges. He gets them into programs where they exercise, and not just their mind, but their body, get them to do things and function properly. It's kind of like a preacher for physical things, or a preacher for spiritual things. It's trying to get you to exercise what God has given you in your diet. That energy you get from the words of God, that calling, that purpose that you get from the meditating on the Word of God and walking with Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you apply that and exercise and you become healthy because you've had a good diet of the Word of God. You've held back some things. Hey, look, you're Baptist, right? You know, you go to the fried chicken and then the brownies and then the brownies and then the brownies and then amen? I said that because there's brownies downstairs. I wanted to look at your faces because people have been eating all the brownies. But sometimes you have to abstain from that stuff. Amen. There are folks in here that have health issues and they can't eat some things. But everybody in here shouldn't be eating some things for our physical benefit. And it's the same way with the spiritual life. There are some things we just should not be eating. And if you're feeding the flesh more than you're feeding the soul, feeding the spirit, you're going to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This verse, 31, it just excites me. This verse, all these do, but this one verse just fires me up. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that something? I mean, we think about, I plan on reading more, but I want to talk about this verse for a minute because we think about, you know, God give me this, he give me that, he give me the other. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, just for being God. And look, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's not just your car and your house and your clothing and your food. It's the sunrise, it's the sunset, it's the rain, it's the snow, it's the wind, it's the birds, it's the bees, it's all these things that God had put in place so we can have our necessities met. Without the sun, without the rain, without the bees, we'd be in trouble. without the Son, we're in trouble. Jesus Christ without the Son. If you're living your life without the Son, you will be barren and unfruitful, just like a corn stalk will without sun. And without the water, the Holy Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, you will be barren and unfruitful, just like a bean plant. Amen. You ever see the beans, they start to fill out, and people, well, we've got to have some rain, or the pods are going to be empty. That's true. They won't mature. They won't produce the fruit that they're intended to produce if they don't have the sunlight and they don't have the water. And it's the same with a Christian. If the Son is not in your life regularly, and if the Holy Spirit is not your guide, you are not going to grow and produce fruit the way God wants you to grow and produce fruit. Psalm 107, 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, supply needs, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly. That's not barren. They're multiplying greatly because of the blessings of God, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Isn't that something? What a God. If you're barren and unfruitful, it's not God's fault. The God of Psalm 107 is the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Don, Jim, Jerry, Robert, all of us, the same God. He blesses, and He also takes away blessings. We just read that in Psalm 107. He dries up the water because of wickedness, and He blesses because of righteousness. Thankfully, the righteousness of Christ makes us worthy of some blessings no matter what. But if you're living right and you're on the right diet, He's going to give you more blessings. He just blesses us because He's God and because of Jesus Christ. But He's got a lot more for us if we'll follow His plan. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And He warns against barrenness. Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He warns against the blind, being blind. Isaiah 42, verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Psalm 146:8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. We have no excuse for blindness. Israel was blind. Israel's blind now. We know in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 11, it talks about blindness in part has come to Israel, and that's going to end when He calls the church out and turns back to Israel. He's going to open their eyes, and it's going to be a rude awakening, because they're going to be serving the Antichrist. And everything's going to look all right for a while, and then there's going to be utter chaos and destruction. They're going to go through something that will make what the Jews did to them look like nothing, or what the Germans did to them in the 40s look like nothing. It'll be the same spirit, but there's going to be a difference. The Spirit of God is going to be gone with the church. The Antichrist is going to have full-blown reign over this world for a period of time, where he deceives them and brings them in and destroys them to a point. But see what happened to Israel, and we want to talk about Israel because people haven't really changed in several thousand years. It says they forgot, their sins were forgiven. What Israel did was Israel forgot who brought them out of Egypt. As a matter of fact, they not only forgot who brought them out of Egypt, they created their own God. They created this golden image and said, this is the God that delivered us from Egypt. It was their gold. It wasn't about this image per se, it was about the gold. They took their gold and fashioned it into a savior, a false savior. They forgot who delivered them out of Egypt. Are you forgetting who delivered you out of Egypt? Don't forget who delivered you out of Egypt. He says they're blind, they can't see afar off, they can look back, and they can't remember. They don't remember, they don't give God the honor and glory for delivering them. And good night, if anybody ought to give him honor and glory, be giving him honor and glory for deliverance, that'll be us. He physically brought them out of Egypt. He spiritually saved us forever. Amen. And then they looked forward, and they were blind. You know what they couldn't see looking forward? They couldn't see Jesus Christ, because they'd already created a false god. So when they looked forward, they didn't see Jesus Christ. And when he was walked the earth, they refused to see Jesus Christ. And then they said, crucify him, crucify him. They crucified Jesus Christ, because they couldn't see far off. It was all about right now. And that's where we get. We get so caught up in right now. And the gods of this world, silver, gold, power, prestige, pat on the back. Amen. That's what everybody wants, power, pat on the back. Wants people to look up and worship them instead of saying, no, it's not me, it's him. If there's anything good, it's him. We get caught up in now, and we get blinded to the past and blinded to the future. You know what else Israel couldn't see? They couldn't see their destruction, even when the prophet was telling them it was coming. Jeremiah told them over and over and over again, he said, look, you people are wicked, and if you don't get right, there's going to be more mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah than there's going to be for you. God's given you chance after chance after chance if you don't get right. And we know that and we understand that in our mind, but I don't think we really got it in our heart a lot of times, because I know a lot of folks that are saved that have been warned over and over and over again. If you don't get right, God is going to judge your sin here. I'm not talking about salvation and losing your salvation. I'm talking about the God that created you has every right to take you out. If you're not going to obey him, there's going to come a point where he's going to say, I've had enough. And when he says, I've had enough, he is right in doing so. Probably long overdue because of his long suffering. I'm saying, if you got something between you and God, you need to get it right now. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you something. God will judge you one day. He will judge you according to your works, and he will throw you into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever, because your works are filthy rags. Jesus Christ is the only one righteous. It's another promise from the Word of God. He warns against not following the building blocks we talked about in 5 through 7. About being barren, about being blind. He says, if you do these things, you'll never fall, though. Look at the believers in 16. I love this verse. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know what he said? We're not just telling stories here. We actually seen it. When I tell you I got saved, I'm not just telling you a story. I actually seen it. I was there. If you can't remember a time when you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, it's just a story. If it was real, you'll remember it because you were there. He says, we're not following cunningly devised fables. You know who is? The world. Well, you know, I think we just come from nothing 6 billion years ago. Well, nothing 6 billion years ago don't work, so let's make it 600 billion years ago, because the magic ingredient of time will fix anything. Well, maybe there was a just giant cosmic belch and everything just spilled out of it. Well, where'd everything come from? Right. Well, we don't have all the answers. they're following cunningly devised fables instead of truth. We don't follow cunningly devised fables. We follow truth. So we don't know exactly. I've talked to people, probably hundreds of them over the years. We don't know exactly how everything started. I do. Well, you can't prove that. Can you prove you don't know where, how any? I mean, what are you talking about? I can't prove it. You don't even have an idea.
Yep.
I've got the truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Yep.
That's not a cunningly devised fable.
Amen.
It's truth.
Amen.
You know why they don't want the truth? Because if they believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth,
right,
they also have to understand that God's going to judge sin.
Yep.
Which means one of two things. They're going to go to hell, or they're going to get saved and have the authority of Jesus Christ and the Bible over them. So they say, well, I don't want either one of those. So I'll just pretend like it doesn't happen. It didn't happen. It doesn't exist. I'll make excuses. I'll be my own God. And I'll decide my eternity. And in fact, they just did by rejecting the truth. We don't follow cunningly devised fables. We follow the light that God has given us in Jesus Christ and the words of God. The blessings, the building blocks, the barren, the blind, the believers, the beloved. Look at verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ is well pleasing to the Lord. Now look, he said something. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He said that about Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, Jesus Christ lives in you. And if you're saved, God is able to look at you if you're obeying Him and say, "I'm pleased with you." I think as Baptists, we get so caught up into the fact that we're sinners that we get way out of balance and don't even want to realize that we can live right. We just want to make excuses. Well, we're sinners, it's the flesh. Well, the truth is Christ lives in you and God's well pleased with Him, God the Father. And if you're living a Christ-like life, He'll be well pleased with you, with me, with us. Amen. Amen. We make a lot of excuses, don't we? And then we point out at the crowd and say, well, they believe in evolution. They don't want the authority of God. Well, do you? Because if you'll submit to the authority of God, your life will be pleasing to God the Father. Amen. You just want to make excuses. Oh, the Democrats did it. The Republicans did it. They did it. What about you? Look at their wickedness. Look at, hey, what about you? What about us? I mean, let's put it right. That judgment must start at the house of God.
Amen.
The beloved. So I don't know, Lord. I'm just doing the best I can. Are you?
Amen.
Probably the best we could do is just waking up every morning and dying to self. Said, I belong to you, Lord. Give me something from your word and use me today to bring you honor and glory. Here in the midst of a perverse generation, a corrupt world, use me. Amen? Use me. The believers. Look at 18 through 21. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein ye do well that ye take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts, or the heart again, from light. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible. The Bible. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we'll look at something here in a minute. I'll give you a minute to turn there. While you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, 2 Chronicles 34, It says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. That king took God's words seriously. Now look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Day and night. Now realize that they didn't have Genesis through Revelation. They had the books of the law. They had the books of Moses. You know what he said? God's given us light, and we're going to focus on that light. You ever go out in the dark, and you're really worried about your steps? A little scary out there? I used to bow hunt. When I bow hunted, I'd go out there all the time. I'd hunt in the evening. I like hunting in the evening more than the morning. And I'd go out there, and I'd go out there and get in my stand. Well, you go out there, you're Man Mountain Dean, you know, Grizzly Adams. This 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, boy, you climb up in that tree, and 15 minutes after dark, you know, it's not the same. When the coyotes are howling, and when everything's scurrying around the woods, and they can see you, but you can't see them, because of the rods and cones in your eyes, you can't see the same as they see. And you get out of that tree, it's different walking in the dark. But see, the reason Christians don't have the power and the authority and the assurance that we could have and should have and can have by the words of God is because we're not walking in the light. We're not allowing the light into our mind to change our heart, to direct our steps the way God intends. It's the Bible. Day and night. They had 5 books of the Bible, and they meditated on them day and night. You said, well, that's all they ever did. No, read Nehemiah. You know what they did in Nehemiah? They rebuilt walls. They rebuilt temples. They reinstituted law and religious order. And they did it building and battling. They did it with a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other, fighting off the enemy while they done their work. Our problem is we lay the sword down and want to work without it.
Right.
You know why they built and battled? Build it and battled. You know why they built and battled? Because if they weren't battling, they never got the building done. You lay your sword down, the battle's over. The building's over. Amen. If we take this book and we lay it down and we say we're just going to have church the way the world likes it, the building's over. Amen. Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. How's he build it? He builds it with the sword, the light. How much Bible have you read this week? How much have you meditated on it? So they meditated on the law of God day and night. They didn't quit functioning. They started functioning with more light. How much light are you functioning with? Say, well, the world's in darkness. So are you if you shut the light off.
Right.
I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying that saved people oftentimes walk and worry and wonder like lost people because they shut the light off.
Amen.
They shut the light off. What a mess. I don't want to go in the woods at midnight without a light. And this world at high noon is dark. Amen. Without a light. Without this light. A more sure word of prophecy. You know what he said? He said, we were there. We saw Jesus Christ. We saw the Spirit laying light on him like a dove. We saw that. We heard from heaven, God the Father. Say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he said, we got a more sure word of prophecy. I said, well, that Bible is really not important. Really? You can go back and look at history. You can watch court cases and you can see where a bank's robbed. And they say, well, there's three witnesses in there. And they say, well, what did he look like? He was a white male and he had a blue hat and he drove off in a green Chevy. And he was about 5'7". And they asked the other witness and they get in court and they go, well, he was a Hispanic male and he drove off in a Chrysler. And because your memory will lie to you. That's why God gave us a Bible. It never changes. Hey, look, let me be honest with you. If you've got an NIV or an RSV, an RESPCT, all that junk, throw it away. Because you're using a dim-lit light. If there's any light at all, this book here is light. Where the words of a king are, there is power. This King James Bible, it's been the same for 400 and some years. When God perfected this English Bible through his inspired work that he'd been doing over all those years, he gave us the perfect light. Now, when I go into the woods, when I'm coming out, I like to have a light. I don't want my iPhone light. I want a flood lamp, man. I don't want to step in somebody's bear trap, amen? I want to walk into two bucks in rut fighting and have them start goring me. I want to see where I'm going. I don't want to walk out with a match that the wind could blow out. Your NIV, by the way. I'm taking the torch of God that's fueled by the oil of God, the oil that never wastes. Amen? It's this book. He said, yeah, we've seen some things, but that book is more important than what we saw. What we know comes from the truth that never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. Never pass away, the Lord said. It's this book. A more sure word of prophecy. If you're walking around in darkness and you're saved, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. If you're too busy to read your Bible or too caught up in other things to read your Bible and pray, it's your fault. So, well, you don't understand what I have to do. Well, what's important to you? Because what's important to you, you'll make time for. And if walking in the light spiritually is important to you, you won't have any excuses. We won't have any excuses. Amen? It's the book. It's the Bible. What a blessing. And what a shame for God's people to shut that light off. Stumble around in darkness, worried about Joe and Donald and Daffy and the rest of them. Amen. Instead of focused on Jesus Christ. My God today is the same God I had when Ronald Reagan was president. Amen. Same God. He hasn't changed. How about you? And the light. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our Bibles.